This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hey, it's Gemma Spegg, host of the Open Mind Original podcast, Mantra. Every Monday, I'll bring you a new mantra, a simple yet powerful phrase to help you clear your mind and stay grounded amidst the chaos. I'll also share some personal stories, journal prompts, and a weekly challenge to bring each mantra to life. Follow and listen to Mantra, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Open Mind Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Caller number 9 right now. 800-636-1067. That's your telephone number. 800-636-1067. You'll win two tickets to the Washington Nationals opening day, Thursday, March 27th versus Philly. First 20,000 fans get an opening day t-shirt. For the complete Nationals schedule and tickets, visit thefandc.com. Begin dialing and good luck. Caller 9, 800-636-1067. Every day at 4 o'clock, tell you what's going on in the world of D.C. sports and anything that kind of crosses over nationally into our sphere, we will bring it to you. We'll start on the ice with the Washington Capitals, please. Bring in our pal Sammy Silber, Hockey News, to talk some Caps. And Sammy, my goodness gracious, Ovi again, ho-hum. 6 away from tying, 7 away from passing. I've run out of words at this point. Just unbelievable.
Yeah, I've run out of words, too. Every time he scores here down the stretch, it's just crazy to see. I mean, even when he's on the road, the arena, it's just a whole different energy, and you know, everybody's rallying around him at this point. And you know, for him last night to find another way to score, because he's finding all these different ways to get it done and put the puck in the net. It's incredible to watch, and you know, he's scoring just as good as he would in any other year at the age of 39. So really special to follow and a lot of fun to watch.
I saw that Backstrom said that he's going to hang out with the team and kind of travel along once Ovi gets closer and closer. How cool is that going to be to have Backstrom around? And obviously the great relationship those two have. Going to be cool to have Backstrom around and as Ovi eventually breaks the record.
Yeah, it's going to be cool. I think, you know, Backstrom's obviously been a huge part of Ovi's career and you know, vice versa. You know, the friendship that they've had over the years has just been so special from, you know, the moment that Backstrom was drafted and then how they paired up so, you know, well together on the ice and then won the cup together and, you know, continue to be there for each other even with Backstrom not playing. So it'll be really cool to see him travel, and I'm sure the celebration will be awesome. So exciting to see, and I'm sure, you know, it was excited to have him on the road too.
So, Sammy, they're so far ahead, 12 points clear of Carolina, who's got the second best record in the conference. You know, clinched a playoff spot last night. It's all academic for if and when the postseason starts. How do they handle these last few weeks here, coming down the stretch? Obviously, you want everyone healthy, but you also want to stay sharp playing their game. It's one of those push and pull things for Coach Carbs. How do you think they do it here down the stretch?
Yeah, I think it's a balance, right? I think you want to get in some good games and stay competitive and keep building on a successful regular season. But at the same time, you do want to gear up for the playoffs and load management, you know, as Carbs already said, it is going to be a reality down the stretch. And you know, you'll probably see guys like McElrath and Alexiev and, you know, Frank get some games here at some point. And, you know, guys will sit, you know, obviously, you know, Ovi's not sitting out anytime soon, but, you know, you might get some other guys getting some rest and, you know, just so everybody's healthy and ready to full go for the postseason. So you'll see load management down the stretch. It's nothing out of the ordinary, but at the same time, you do want to keep building on that success and pick up where you left off and be consistent.
What's the plan for Ryan Leonard as it comes down the stretch and getting set for the playoffs?
Yeah, I think it's in his camp, right? I think you look at the situation and you see, you know, Leonard, how he does with Boston College down the stretch and how far they go. And then when that season ends, I mean, Washington basically, you know, you saw them plan the trade deadline around him, right? So if he doesn't sign here after he's done, I'd be shocked. I mean, the kid wants to win. He's hungry to win. But I think he's more than ready for the pro jump. So I think, you know, after however it ends up Boston College, I think you'll see him in D.C.
Explain Alexei Protas in this unbelievable leap he's taken. You could see the talent flashes over a couple of years, Sammy, but this is just unbelievable. He's about to score his 30th goal. He leads the league. I know it's verboten among a lot of the NHL stat nerds to mention it, but I still think it's a data point. Leads the league in plus minus. That's a pretty huge jump for a guy in his now mid-20s.
No, it's huge. Yeah, I mean, he's still a young guy, you know, coming into his own league, and he's a big guy too, you know, 6'6", and you know, everybody looks at him and they're like, oh, you know, a guy with that much reach and size, you know, he, of course, you know, he can do all these things, but it's not that. It's his smarts. It's the IQ he has. He's such a good player when it comes to knowing where the play is going to go, where the puck's going to go, you know, the right move to make. He never makes a wrong decision with the puck in either end. And, I mean, that speaks to what you just said about plus minus, right, is, you know, defensively, he's sneaky, you know, sneakily one of the best defensive forwards right now in the NHL. And then you have him killing penalties. You have him playing all kinds of roles. He can play with just about anybody. Very coachable guy, very driven. And he just wants to be his best. And what's, you know, impressive about him, too, is his production at 5-on-5 and even strength. You know, he doesn't need the power play to bolster his numbers. He's, you know, among the top scorers at 5-on-5. And, you know, he has some shorthanded points, too. So, He's been an X factor, and he's a huge reason for why, you know, the Caps are as successful as they have been. And he's played a big role in Ovi's chase as well.
Sammy, appreciate the time. Always good to chat.
All right. Thanks, guys. I'll see you soon.
We'll see you.
Let's talk some Nationals. Joining us to talk about the Nats is Mark Zuckerman from Masson Sports. Mark, spring training winding down, just less than a week from opening day. What are some of your overall thoughts from the team down in spring training?
Hey, guys, I think they're ready to go. you were here last week. You saw they were getting to that point, kind of the dog days, and now you see the finish line approaching. And so I think they are they're kind of at that point. They're ready to get going and really see now what this looks like. There's a lot of optimism among the players, among the coaches in front office, that they're ready to take a big step forward, but they've got to actually do it on the field. And I think there's also a sense that a good start, a good April, would go a long way and kind of generate some momentum for them and not make them feel like it's an uphill climb from the get-go, which is, you know, different from how it's been now for the last few years.
Shinosuke Ogasawara didn't do himself a ton of favors to win that fifth starter job, Mark. Give me the State of the Union on that role.
Look, they gave him plenty of opportunities, including one last one last night against most of the Mets regulars that he faced, and it wasn't pretty. It was 98 pitches to go 3 2/3 innings, and it was hit pretty hard. The command wasn't there. I think the most surprising thing with him, he came here with a reputation as a strike thrower, and he wound up, you know, with one of the higher walk rates, I think, on the pitching staff. And I don't know if that's a lack of trust in his stuff, if it's a difference in the ball that he's using here. So they haven't announced anything formally yet, but I think we're going to get it soon, maybe even before the start of tonight's game. Mitchell Parker is going to be the fifth starter. I mean, you can't have looked at this objectively and not come to that conclusion. That also includes DJ Herz in that mix, who there were high hopes for, but just wasn't throwing as hard, didn't look as crisp this spring, and I think they realize he's going to need some time at AAA as well to get ready. There's a good chance we're going to see all of these guys over the course of the season. That's how it works. But right now, Parker probably looks the most polished, and you know, frankly, he made 29 starts last year in the big leagues and better than most people thought he would be. So I think there's a case to be made that he deserved it anyways.
Yeah, Mark, I want to jump on that. What about Herz? This is, I thought he was going to, before the, I almost called it the preseason. I'm sorry, I've got a bunch of different sports in my mind. Before spring training, I thought he was going to win the fifth starter job. And, you know, you mentioned it. There's, anytime a velocity drop happens like that, everybody insists that he's fine. My radar's up that maybe he's not fine. What's going on there?
Yeah, but at least he didn't call it training camp, Danny, so good job on that.
I know, right?
So, yeah, it caught some people by surprise, but 2 points here. One, Herz insists that there's nothing physically wrong. He thinks more mechanics and lack of adrenaline, maybe, more than anything, just kind of that dead arm thing that some pitchers deal with. And number two, he says he has dealt with this in past spring trainings, and over the course of the season it comes back, and he gets it. So I guess you can be encouraged by that. On the other hand, I'm kind of thinking to myself, like, hey, you came here with a chance to win the job, to say that you're the guy, and you got to find that adrenaline somehow. You got to either come to spring training more prepared or change up your routine or whatever that might be to put yourself in a better position. It may have cost him a spot in the opening day rotation. Now, again, we'll probably see him at some point this year. Things will happen, and if he pitches well at AAA, they will call him up and see what he can do. I thought out of everybody in that group, last year I thought he had the highest upside of them all. His best starts were as good as anybody on this team. A little more inconsistent, and that's something he's going to have to work on. But I had high hopes for him coming into spring training, and I still feel like I want to see more of him, but he's going to have to work his way back up, I think, both in terms of getting the arm back into shape, but also have some success and some consistency, I would think, at AAA before they want to bring him up.
Last year in the first half, the rotation was really, really good, and it was a big part of why they were in, you know, the wild card hunt for a while longer than maybe we expected. In the second half, some of these guys going through for the first or second time, a full 162 pitching every fifth day, they kind of wore down a little bit. Mark, where do you kind of think this rotation is? Is it somewhere in the middle where they're solid, but maybe they don't have the elite arm, or maybe McKenzie proves that he can be that? Or are they maybe closer to the side that struggled in the second half?
I think it's improved as a group. And the reason I say that, first of all, I do think Mackenzie Gore is ready to take that next step. And I think they all believe that here as well. And you can look at what the final numbers were for the season and say, yeah, they were fine, but nothing that great. But if you break down his season, the first half, he was an all-star. He was good enough for that. He had obviously a rough stretch for a good month, maybe 6 weeks, that skewered all the numbers. But the most important thing he did was come back from that, figure it out, and dominate down the stretch. Last seven starts, 155 ERA, lowest in the majors. I think he's ready to take that step. He's the opening day starter. He wants to be the leader of the staff. So I think it begins with him. I think Jake Irvin is solid. We know that. He's kind of the workhorse of the team. And the wild card and all the X factors, Michael Soroka. They took a chance on him at $9 million off an 0-10 season with the White Sox where he got bumped to the bullpen. They have raved about him this spring. He's pitching tonight. We'll see how he finishes things out. For the most part, has looked really good. And if he is anything like the pitcher he was in Atlanta several years ago before the injuries kind of disrupted his career, that's another frontline starter to pair up with Gore and Irvin. And so those three together, I think, would make them a much better rotation than they've had here in a while. It's an X factor. You don't know that. There's no sure thing there. But I think it's trending in the right direction.
So, Tobes, you know this because you were down there with us at spring training. We had heard from a couple of PR guys behind the scenes, and kind of we saw it for ourselves. There was this clamoring for Dylan Cruz and attention, and there were throngs of people yelling for Dylan Cruz. So when I heard a bunch of yelling once, I assumed, oh, they're waiting for Dylan Cruz. Not the case. Mark Zuckerman. They were going nuts, like a beetle was walking down the catwalk of the runway there. Mark, the throngs of people wanted your autograph, and it was a sight to see, my friend.
Well, you know, I'm glad you got to experience it firsthand, because
yep.
most people, you know, like my wife doesn't believe it, which is true. But you've seen it, so you can attest to it. In all seriousness, I really appreciate how many fans come down here and are friendly and want to chat. I'm very grateful to have that audience over the last 20 years that has built up, and it's a very loyal group, and I appreciate all of it.
You are a rock star. Don't sell yourself short. Mark, thank you, buddy. Talk soon.
All right. See you guys.
See you, my friend. Let's hit that Local 53 sounder, please. My God, that's Johnny Cakes, Allville's music of your sports junkies, joining us here on a Friday afternoon. Cakesy. Free agency's kind of quieted down. What's your overall feel here for Washington and what they've done with this free agency period? Is it wow at the couple of headliners? Is it whelmed? Is it underwhelmed because it's a bunch of, you know, kind of back of the roster type dudes, sort of what they majored in last year? Where's old Flakesy at?
I think I'm mostly whelmed, maybe slightly towards overwhelmed if you count the trade for Laremy Tunsil. Look, I know that signing Javon Kinlaw, that has produced a lot of anxiety amongst the fan base because, let's be honest, the guy hasn't put up the biggest of numbers since he was drafted by Adam Peters and company by the Niners back in the day. But, look, Peters is familiar with him. He needs some depth along that defensive line with Jonathan Allen departing, heading up to where the Vikings purple in the NFC North. So he's a slightly cheaper, younger version that they feel like they can put in different positions along the defensive line to help improve that ghastly 31st, I believe, ranked rushing defense from last year. So I would say I'm whelmed, trending towards a slight overwhelm, Danny.
When you look at the wide receiver position, they bring in Michael Gallup yesterday. I don't know that that's a big-time signing. There's not even a guarantee that he's going to be on the roster to start the season. If they went into week one with their current wide receiver core, are you happy with that, or do you still feel like they need to make a move, whether it's free agency or trade or the draft?
I think the carcass of free agent wide receivers has pretty much been picked through at this point, so I feel like if they're going to add, it would be somebody via the draft. And look, Michael Gallup he's a reclamation project. You know, I mean, the guy retired last year. He's getting basically a one-year look-see type of audition. And you mentioned he might not even make the roster coming out of camp. I kind of view him like I viewed the Zaccheaus signing before last season. So hopefully there's something left. He claims that still have fresh legs. And, maybe, you know, sometimes it takes guys a little longer to recover off the ACL tears, especially when they're getting around the ripe old age of 30 for an NFL wide receiver. So I wouldn't hate an ad with a draft pick, but I think free agency-wise, they're probably done.
Fantasy Cakes, is there a running back that you've got your eyeballs on that could upgrade this group, or you think they're just going to run it back like they're running the tight end room back? You know what I mean? Like, to me, I want some speed, some explosion, some receiving stuff.
Yeah.
Like, find me a younger Austin Eckler. They were like,
Randy Douye. I know he likes a youngish Austin Eckler. I know that a guy like a Jahmyr Gibbs would be the apple of Danny's eye, somebody like that.
So.
Now, I would love a guy like that, but I mean, what the front office has done kind of speaks to they're going to run it back. I mean, everybody is back from last year. Eckler has 1 year left on his deal. Hopefully he's able to avoid the concussion issues that plagued him last year. Brian Robinson, I still think he's basically slightly better than a Jag. Don't let him hear that. He'd get very upset. But they signed Jeremy McNichols. Rodriguez is back. So I just don't know if there's room for another RB, though. I could always use a more explosive guy coming out of the backfield. Danny, we share the same brain there. But can I pick a bone with Danny quickly? Toby?
Let's
I'm going to direct this to you, Toby. So you guys are at TAP, okay? Yeah. I listened on my way back to Nats Park.
Mm-hmm.
I was doing the, hey, what's new at Nats Park in 2025?
Well, we're going to ask you about that. Are you mad because we're not asking you about that?
Had a good time. Sampled some of the concession fairs, went through the promotional giveaways. There's a lot of good things coming to Nats Park in 2025. But this is what rankled me. I'm driving home, and I hear that Toby is enjoying just a delicious plate of buffalo wings out at TAP, which this is what you should do. TAP is a great place at MGM National Harbor. Tons of fantastic foodstuffs, many craft beers.
Oh, no.
And then I hear that Danny is having like a Caesar salad. I mean, it's March Madness, Danny. This is when you throw a caution to the wind. This is not when you order a salad, my friend. You order wings. You order burgers. You order that extra beer that you weren't sure that you should order.
It's a great point, by the way. Great point.
I think it's a solid point, Toby.
I mean, we have some nachos that we've been chowing down.
I've been housing nachos.
Breaks.
But I wanted the credit of eating the salad. You know what I'm saying,
okay.
Cakes? I was desperate for my wife to hear, because she's been correctly saying, like, hey, fatso, maybe a little bit less. You know, instead of ordering, like, I ordered yesterday a cheesesteak with fries and then later got a different kind of fries. Like, as a, you know what I mean? She's like, come on, you slob. You disgusting Gila monster.
Okay, so you had a regular French fry with the cheesesteak. What was the secondary order of fries?
That's the loaded fries that they feature here at TAP Sports Bar. So that's going to have...
I applaud that decision. But you know what?
Old Bay
Toby, winning,
there,
Toby
yeah.
winning at life today.
Yep.
Danny,
yes.
losing at life today.
Losing. Yep.
Well, and speaking of which, Cakes, what non-salad items did you try out at Nats Park today?
Yeah, tell us what happened.
Oh, I mean, which non-salad items did I not try out at Nats Park, you should ask today. I try. Ryan Zimmerman was there with Dan Colco, two just dreamy guys hanging out. And Ryan had he had curated like a small sample plate, which included a barbecued spare rib, delicious, baked beans, collard greens, and even though Jeeps hates this item, which is weird, cornbread. You know how good that little plate was? Mm. It was delicious.
Now, these are things people can get at the ballpark?
They're switching it up with some of the concessions offerings. I didn't quite get all of the details because I was spacing out a little bit and maybe checking my phone like to see what the scores were of the games, stuff along those lines. But they're going to have guest chefs in throughout the season. A lot of cool things in store at Nats Park. Also had Philly cheesesteak nachos in honor of the Phillies coming in for the opening series, which, by the way, is next Thursday.
Yeah, by the way, next
It's
Thursday.
Crazy to think about. Real quick, I saw on the Instagram story with you and Maher that you had a mango bar. I don't know if you saw this, Danny.
No, I didn't see it.
A mango popsicle bar with some tahini on there. I don't know if I've ever had something like that, but it looked really good.
Flakesy.
Yeah, I've never seen such a concoction, Toby, but it was a mango popsicle. Okay, imagine this. A mango popsicle with a dollop of salsa, and then thrown on top of the salsa was some tahini spices. So you had the sweetness of the popsicle mixing with the savoriness of the salsa / tahini spice, and it was a culinary delight, let me just say.
So I think we stumbled onto something. Restaurant critic cakes would be a smash. That's your next career. Okay, that's number
one. Good.
Number two, like international flavor cakes. I thought this is like a bowl of cereal for breakfast, grilled cheese for lunch, steak for dinner kind of guy. We're mangoing, we're tahining. Like it's
come
like
on, guy. Come on, Danny. I'm not good. Yeah, you're treating me like I'm a junior Grant Paulson over here, like I have the palate of an 8-year-old. I'm slightly offended here.
I would have said palate of a 17-year-old, but I'm pleasantly surprised. Egg on my face.
17-year-old, I would accept.
You're my guy, dude. Love you, pal. Have a good weekend.
All right, guys. Thanks again. Go Turks.
There he goes. That is old money metal cakes, and that's how we built Way Blitz. So here's what I want to do. We got a rule in Major League Baseball that I think is going to rankle some feathers.
Mm.
And I got to tell you, old Fanny Mouye, old Randy Douye.
Emphasis on old.
Old thinks it's a great idea. And in fact, I want it instituted more places. I think it's brilliant. I'll tell you what it is. We'll have our little debate. You'll have the prosecution, or maybe I'm the defense, I guess because I'm defending it. So Tobes will be the prosecution. I don't even know your view, by the way, but I'm guessing. Tobes will be the prosecution. I'll be the defense attorney, defending one of the great moves in recent modern history. Not to overstate it. That's next. Grant and Danny on the Fan. That Pete Rock and CL Smooth is so good every time. Once it hits your lips, it's so good. Grant Nanny here on the Fan. Tobes in for GP. About 2 hours left in our program. Still plenty of time for you guys to come hang out with us at Tap Sports Bar, MGM National. Habba. As Washington prepares this offseason to protect its star QB, what are you doing to protect your family's assets? As the exclusive sponsor of our show, the law firm of Condori and Morad can help you draft your last will and testament, set up a living trust, or put together a medical power of attorney. Schedule a free consultation with their attorneys today by visiting kmlawyers.com. Be sure to let them know that we sent you. That's kmlawyers.com. We got some Aaron Rodgers news. He visited somewhere. We'll tell you all about that in the 5 o'clock hour, so come back and hang with 5 if you got something to do. You're going to a meeting, getting out of a meeting, going to the office, leaving the office, whatever. You can come hang out with us at Tap Sports Bar. We got some Aaron Rodgers news at 5. Also, later on, this program, right around 6 or so, Toes, we're going to get into Washington's offseason and kind of one of these under-the-radar stars. In other words, the question is, who's their next Dante Fowler? Who's the guy that nobody thought twice about, didn't make that much money, and they made a huge profit with 10.5 sacks from Fowler? Who does that this year? We'll go through their signings and give you our answer to that. But right now at the moment, you sent this story my way, Toes. I don't want to lead the witnesses here, okay? Would you mind setting it up what it is so that I don't so that you don't accuse me later because I think in a biased way?
Yeah. Yeah, so basically Ron Washington, the great manager of now the Los Angeles Angels, great longtime coach of various baseball organizations.
Yeah, baseball life for that
guy.
Yeah,
just a great dude. He has implemented a rule in his clubhouse in spring training where if you're in the clubhouse, sitting at your locker, whatever, you cannot be on your phone. Essentially no phones in the clubhouse unless there's obviously emergency, family, something. You can hop on your phone if you need to, but for the most part, just don't be scrolling X, don't be scrolling Instagram, TikTok, and all that. When you're in the clubhouse, you're present with the guys there. And so they're now going to implement this rule into the regular season. And it seems like it's been gone over well so far with all of his Angels players. And apparently this is something that he had done before in his time when he was managing the Texas Rangers back in the day. Obviously, phones were prevalent, but not nearly as prevalent nowadays. But even as much as just don't be on your phone, be present. And it was kind of a self-policed rule. It was basically policed by the players. There was like a fine of sorts if you were to break this rule. But basically to say, you know, almost kind of similar to how, you know, families do no phones at the dinner table sort of deal. But when you're in the clubhouse, don't be on your phone. That's kind of the rule that he's implemented.
I would say that's a pretty fair assessment, right? So this is the... Now, you guys, most of you haven't been in a major league locker room. I understand that. But when you go in, the way it kind of works usually, and you know, whether it's Nat's spring training facility or their home ballpark, there's kind of an ante room, so to speak. There's a first step you got to get past, kind of a hallway, which leads to batting cages, which leads to, a training table, kitchen stuff, and all sorts of different things for the guys to do that's back there kind of in the clubhouse in their sanctum. Then there's, you know, restrooms off to the side. There's a bunch of stuff that's back there. So the main clubhouse, kind of the hangout, the hub, right, that's meant to be sacred. In fact, Grant and I have disagreed about this a million times and we'll disagree a million more over the years. I don't think the way I would design it in the future, I don't think media should be there. I don't think anybody should be in the clubhouse except for the players. I understand the logistics of it after a game. You got a limited window to get your comments, get your thoughts, to do your stories, etc. But to me, that should be a sacrosanct place for the players. It's not how it goes. I understand I've been outvoted. I know that's not the way it is, but just, again, my two cents. So he's saying that when you're in the clubhouse, right, which is really that central hub, that locker room, right, where you can – you need to go to one of the side rooms to use the restroom, go back into one area for where the manager's office is, et cetera, et cetera. We're not sitting there at our stool on our locker at our locker with our feet sort of, you know, in the middle of the walkway, just scrolling Twitter, scrolling Facebook, Instagram, TikToks, or whatever. You're present. You're there with your teammates. You're clocking into work. And I know, because I got mine too, I know that when I get home in the evenings, we're trying to encourage our kids not to be on devices or whatever when it's sit down at their time. We can't have a normal dinner. Our kids are young enough still where they're starving, you know, at 4 o'clock and waiting for me to get home at 7 every night is stupid. But the times when there's multiple people together there at kind of the makeshift dinner, little counter tabletop we have or the dinner table, we don't want people on phones. And I try very hard not to. Like if there's something going on business-wise, work-wise that I've got to do, I do it. But for the most part, it's like you're trying not to – to do that and to be present with folks, even if you're too tired to have a great convo, even if you don't feel like it, even if you're not feeling well, just being there is the right thing. So I love this rule. I think it's fantastic. It's a way to force those collegial and communal interactions that make a team a team. So in high school and in college, even though it's funny to say because you have such a limited time, right, where freshman, sophomore, junior, senior, then you're done in both venues, it's still a 24-7 because you're living together, right? You're going to lunch together. You're around each other all the damn time, and you're around your teammates a lot too, obviously, especially with pro baseball. With spring training and everything else, you're there for 7 months. You see these guys almost every day. But there's still an independent contractor element to it that now kind of is leaking into college sports as well with NIL. But for the most part, it's like you are – a team in name only because each guy's worried about his arbitration, his free agency upcoming, his contract, his stats, his numbers, his whatever. You can come together for the common goal, yeah. And there are going to be moments where you sacrifice for the team. But for the most part, you think of the NFL, you think of the NBA, you think of, you know, almost every pro sport. It is a thrown-together group that's a team because you're wearing the same laundry. But the groups that really have succeeded here, think of this Capitals team this year, think of 2019 for the Nationals. There's something to that special magic. There's something to this year's Washington 53 where they were way better than the sum of their parts, dude. And it was that brotherhood, ding the bell. It was that collegial, we're all in the same boat, pulling the rope in the same direction, to put two different analogies into one. And you're trying to build that. And it's hard to build that, and especially when everybody's got their own agenda. Tobes, to you, your response.
Yeah, I mean, I think I understand the point of this, and I think it does make a lot of sense. I mean, I think a lot of people listening to our station have played sports in some way or another, and a lot of people haven't played at the level that you did, where you went on to college and played and, you know, potentially could have gone professional or, you know, it had an opportunity, but that didn't obviously work out for you. But
why are you bringing up old stuff here?
But most of us have played at, like, a high school level or middle school level. And a lot of times, Danny, like, we hang out at school, right? Like, you might play baseball, basketball, whatever, and, like, the next day after a game you're talking about. These dudes don't. It's different when you get to professional sports. They go home.
Yep.
They go home to their families. And so the reality is, like, if you're going to build that chemistry like you did when you were in grade school, that was your best friend. That was your buddy. You went over and had sleepovers at their house during the summer, and you did all these different things. They don't do that. They're professional athletes. But a way that you can do that, and I think it's something that you talked about with this Commanders team and the brotherhood they had this year, ding the bell, is the fact that they created an environment where people wanted to hang out. So you might be finished getting your rehab, your lift, and watching film and everything at 5 o'clock, but you're still there till 7 or 8 because you're hanging out with the guys. You're playing games. You're playing cards. And that was something that I thought was really, really good about walking into the Nats clubhouse when we were down there in West Palm. You walked in every day, and they were doing something together. They were playing cards, whether it was Dylan Cruz, James Wood, Andrew Pinckney. Some days they had a little mini basketball hoop like you hang over the door, and they were screwing around playing that. Like, those are the sorts of things that fosters. And, you know, some guys are still sitting at their locker on their phone, but for the most part, guys were hanging out. And I think it's one of those things where you have to understand your clubhouse. If Wash feels like he's got a bunch of guys that are just going to be sitting at their locker and on their phone the entire time, and you're never going to build that chemistry, then 100%. If it's something where, you know, one or two guys are still going to do that, you can kind of encourage them to be a part of the group, but for the most part, the group organically is going to come together, then I would tend to say don't put this rule in place. But I think the rule makes sense. It really does. Like you said, it's their job. We don't always view it as a job for them because it's such a cool thing, but it is their job. And how often do you show up to your job and sit on your phone for, you know, hours on end? Like, it's a totally different thing for them. So I don't think it's a bad idea. I generally would not be a fan of it. I don't like restrictions when I'm just trying to live my life. But at the same point, I think it makes sense to build some of that chemistry. And it's a team, frankly, that has underachieved year after year after year. I mean, we're going to look back on that team 10, 15 years from now and say, you know, they put Shohei Ohtani and Mike Trout, two of the best players of this generation, on the same team, and they didn't win a playoff game. Like, that is wild.
They didn't even go most of the time,
You might as well try different stuff. And if this works, if they build a really good team bond and that can help them win games on the field, try whatever works, man.
Yeah, 800-636-1067. I'm just curious to the folks' reactions to this, because it's one of those things I think that sounds great in theory, right? But in practice, how annoying would it be? Like, the last time I had a real job, a long time ago, working as a contractor with Department of Defense, this would happen all the time. Now, the phones were different. It was like Palm Pilots and, like, you know, these smartphones that had, like, little pens that you could use with them, or Blackberries or whatever. But the amount of times you'd sit there and someone clearly wasn't paying attention to what was going on, and they're on their phone, and you know that that's adding hassle. That's adding
Robert Hassel.
I wish it was Robert Hassel. I would have taken a sweet left-handed stroke from a plus outfielder a long time ago, a million times over what was happening in some of those meetings, took, where you knew that the lieutenant colonel that wasn't paying attention, you have to repeat what you just said.
Yeah.
And you know that a 30-minute meeting or one that should have been an email turned into an hour and a half, and you still don't have a configuration for the fifth-floor office space. All we're trying to do was figure out where the chairs and where the desks were going to go. We had to have seven different meetings about that. Seven, Toby. Seven different times I was the representative of my little group there as we're trying to say, well, this guy could sit right over there. Well, what about this? Back to the drawing board, official proposals typed up. And next thing you know, this dude's on his BlackBerry, and it's about where you're going to sit, Lieutenant Colonel. You know what I'm saying? Like, pay attention to me, but I can't tell you what to do because you're my boss, but at the same time, get off your Palm Pilot, bro.
Yes.
You get it.
Yeah. No, I think it makes a lot of sense. It's one of those things where you can build a chemistry that's a lot deeper if you don't have guys so focused on what they're doing. You know, I think there needs to be some understanding on it. Like, if a guy wants to listen to music at his locker with headphones, fine. But
yeah, pregame, what you got to do, do what you got to do.
Yeah, but just don't be sitting there. You know, it's 4 o'clock. We're waiting to take BP together. Don't be just sitting there scrolling TikTok when you could be hanging out with the guys.
That's kind of my idea. 800-636-1067. Curious you guys' reactions on this. It sounds like Tobin and I are in lockstep. I thought he'd just be a generic young person and be like, yeah, man, don't tell me what to do with my phone, bro. Like, I'm on my phone. TikTok won't scroll itself. You know what I'm saying?
Right. I
need to look at 57 videos of people holding miniature mics before I can do anything each day. And you interrupt that, you're interrupting my process. 800-636-1067. Plenty more here. Great Nanny on the Fan. Got an Aaron Rodgers update for you. We'll talk a little NFL for the Mercurial, to be kind, quarterback. And I got an argument that I'm going to make to you guys. I think he was visiting today the only place it might actually work. We'll explain. We'll do that at 5.
Egypt?
Might actually work there. Some desert football.
Hanging out with pyramids, maybe some ayahuasca.
Maybe some ayahuasca. I'm going to tell you about Dan McKinnon. Most of the listening audience would be forgiven if you don't know the name Dan McKinnon. And Dan McKinnon is a former NHL executive who's now the general manager of the Utica Comets. The Utica Comets are an affiliate of the New Jersey Devils. But Danny, you're really handsome, and you had a salad earlier, and you deserve a lot of credit for that. Why am I interested in that fact? Why does that matter? Well, it's kind of a cool little story. His son, Will, to the layperson, Will McKinnon, was also a member of the Utica Comets.
That's pretty cool.
How neat is that,
yeah.
Right? I mean, you've seen fathers play for sons like Deion Sanders.
You know about Shedeur Sanders now. Shedeur can play. Now, hold on now. Travis Hunter is the best player in the country. And then Shedeur, he's going top three. Do you believe?
Right? So you got Travis Hunter. You got Dan McKinnon, the GM, and Will McKinnon. So it's unusual. Like, the coach a lot of times is the head guy, and then, you know, the coach's kid is there. That's normal. That happens, right? Listen to this. Dan McKinnon, GM, Will McKinnon, son, plays for the Utica Comets. Not anymore. Dan McKinnon traded his son, Will McKinnon, to the Cleveland Monsters, an affiliate of the Columbus Blue Jackets, for future considerations.
That's tough.
He traded his son for
tough.
Nothing worth mentioning at the time.
That is tough. I mean, that's like the equivalent of the player to be named later.
Yeah.
Cash considerations in baseball. You traded him just because you needed to get rid of him. And it's your son, by the way. I mean, that's going to be an awkward Christmas. It's going to be an awkward Thanksgiving. Just sitting down, you're like, Dad, remember the time you traded me for nothing? For future considerations? That's tough.
Hey, son, it's Dad. You guys coming over Easter? You gonna come over Easter? Yeah, no, I think it'd be nice. I think your sister's in town. You know, like your mom would love to see it. It'd be a great time. You guys coming over? That'd be awesome. Hey, a couple personal questions. Have you seen anybody? You been dating anybody? It's okay if you have. You don't want to tell your dad. It's fine if you have. Because if you are, you might want to tell him that you're moving to. You're moving to Cleveland, buddy.
Hey, son, I hope your rent's not, you didn't buy that house, right?
Step into my office because you're fired. He traded his son for, I mean, listen, it's you got to be able to do it, right? I understand, it's part of the job. Like, if it's best for the team, your job is what's best for the team. And if what's best for the team is to trade your kid for nothing, then you trade your kid for nothing.
Oh, that's so tough.
But it's. I'm without speech on that. Like, what do you do? I can't imagine. I cannot imagine.
But can you also imagine, like, I don't know. You said it's a minor league, so I don't know exactly how much, you know, do they have an assistant GM? Is it kind of – but could you imagine if this is a big league organization and you're walking in, you're the assistant general manager, you're like, so I think we got to have a real discussion about your son. I think we got to have a real discussion about your son. And he's like, yeah, let's trade him. Like, what in the world? Could you imagine?
Yeah, what can we get for your son? It turns out not that much.
Yeah, how about nothing?
How about the phone call on the other end? You think you're being pranked? Like, you work for the Cleveland Monsters. Like, hello? Oh, Dan, what's up, eh? How are you doing? What are you talking about? You want to trade your son? Hold on, let me get the other guys in here.
What's that conversation like, though, when you're general manager dad and you call your son to tell him you traded him? It's like, hey, son, I traded you. Bye.
Like, for what? Oh, you'll never guess.
Like, hey, son, look at places in Cleveland. I'll talk to you later. Bye.
Oh, did you trade me for a future star? Nope. Right now, it's nothing. It might end up being something, but right now, this minute, son, it's zero. We're better off without you.
Oh, that's
and
tough.
Nothing in return than we are with you. Everything that you brought was really a negative overall, and we're better as a Utica Comet without your presence here. So apparently Utica's not having a good AHL season. I found that out via this article, but I thought that was a tough one. I don't know that I'd be able to do that, but it's one of those things, as I was saying before, like, it is part of the job.
It is.
Like, if your job, if you're taking your job seriously as a Utica Comet GM, and the best thing for the team is to trade a player, it doesn't matter if he's your boy. It doesn't matter if he's your cousin or if he's your nephew. But good heavens, that is tough. So, Will McKinnon, I would never let Dad live that down. I would make every Thanksgiving, every Christmas dinner, every time you visited, be like, Dad, I was going to get you something, but I traded it for nothing.
Hey, I would say one thing, though. If I'm Dan McKinnon, the GM dad. I'm throwing that on my resume for someone saying, are you going to be able to make the tough decision? Be like, yeah, I traded my own son for
nothing.
How
about the toughest decision anyone's ever made ever?
I told my son he wasn't good enough and sent him to Cleveland.
Cleveland's offer was nothing. Cleveland's best and final was, we'll figure it out later. That's what I traded my son for. So, yes, I'm prepared to make the hard calls. Speaking of hard calls, Aaron Rodgers is taking a sweet time to make his call. Someone else is going to dance with the devil in the pale moonlight. Who's it going to be? I'll tell you the team he visited, but nothing is imminent. We want you not to think anything's imminent. He might sign. I think it's the only place where it's going to work, and he better sign if he wants one more chance at the sun. I'll explain that. 5 o'clock here on The Fan.